Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, musicians and music ministry. You know, we're so fortunate that God has just blessed so many people in this body with so much talent. And but it's not just talent; it's lives that back up the Word of God. And without that, it would just be songs and music. But we have such a sweet anointing on everything in this place. I'm just so grateful for it. Tonight, I know God has a word from us from His book through the man He's chosen to deliver. And pastors asked Brother Bear if he would preach the word to us tonight. Brother Bear, would you come right now?
Praise the Lord. We have seen what happens when we praise the Lord. Such a sweet spirit of God in this place tonight. We truly are a privileged people. I give honor to my pastor and his wife tonight. Truly, they are a great example to this body. I'm thankful that we have a strong example to follow. In this day and time, this world so desperately needs to see something that's real. Because the things of this world one day will poof, be gone. But what we do in this place is eternal. What happens in this place is life-changing. And I believe that this is the time for the church to shine. This world, folks, is coming apart. It's coming unraveled. And it's setting the stage for the church of the Almighty God to shine its beacon in this darkness. And just like it was in the Old Testament times, it was a darkness that could be felt. Can you feel the darkness in this world? But the Bible said in those Old Testament scriptures that it was a darkness that could be felt, but there was light in the dwelling place of the nation of Israel. And so too is it in the year 2013 that there is light in the children of God for this world to see. Amen. Thank you for allowing for me to minister to you. I truly take it as a privilege. And I'm going to jump on the same bus that Sean was on tonight and say, you don't need me. What we need is Jesus. You need to hear from Jesus tonight. And for some reason, I just happen to be the vessel to deliver the mail. And I'm privileged to be able to do that. And I'm privileged that you would allow for me to deliver it to you. But I need your help tonight. Would you preach with me tonight? Could we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you would stand with me tonight for the reading of the Word, turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 4th chapter. Luke 4 and verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found a place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Sounds like the commission to the church to me. Verse 20, "And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." And then if you'll turn to the book of Acts, the 3rd chapter. Starting at verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer." Notice Jesus was on his way to the synagogue. Peter and John are going to the temple. Great things happen in the house of God. "At the hour of prayer." At the hour of prayer. My God, the things that happen in this place on Saturday mornings at the hour of prayer. God speaks. God reveals. God touches, God heals. "And a certain man," do you remember a few weeks ago, Brother Schumacher talking about a certain man? This message was in the slow cooker, and I just finished it a couple days ago. I thought other plans, but tonight's the night. But these same scriptures, "a certain man," I had to show them. "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, to beg of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.'" And verse 5, "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." I want to speak to you for a short while tonight on a message entitled, "Look on Us." All eyes were on Jesus when he gave the book back to the attendant. And I want you to see Peter, the man that God gave the keys to the kingdom, cries out to a lame man and says, "Look on us." He didn't say me, he said us. And I believe it was a phrase that was to echo on through the years to the church. That when there was someone who needed something, someone who needed a life-changing situation to come into their lives, they could say, "Look on us. Look to the church, because the power of the Almighty God is there." Lord, in this place tonight, oh God, Lord, I pray through your word we would be changed. We would be encouraged. And Lord, like the words of the song we just sang, like a fire shot up in my bones, I want the world to know that you are God. Lord, let us take that commission forth, O God, and let us boldly with our mouths profess you unto them in the name of Jesus, and let their eyes, Lord, not be fastened on us, but on you who works through us, O God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, could we clap our hands? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Continuing on in that portion of Scripture in Acts, the third chapter, it says, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, not 2 hours later, not a week later, but immediately, the Bible says, immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God." Notice, all the people saw him walking and praising God. That makes a difference. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Don't you think that your testimony doesn't make a difference to this world? They were amazed at what happened to him. Amen? And they knew it was him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us?" Notice, he's giving the attention. I will not be distracted to Jesus. He got the focus back on Jesus. Not "look at me," or "oh, wasn't that a great work," but "why do you look at us? What we want you to see is our Savior." And the commission of the church is to say, "look on us as we show you him." He has put a power inside us only to give us the ability to show people, to open people's eyes to his goodness. Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." Notice, the glory goes to Jesus. His name and faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. "Look on us," he said. And the Bible said Peter fastening his eyes on him, said, "look on us." That word "fastened" is a compound of "one" or the "alpha" as a particle of union. earnestly looked upon, steadfastly behold, set eyes on, gaze upon, strained at, strained intently, or focused. There was nothing more important at this moment. When they look at us, they should see Jesus because of our union with that number one, with the Alpha, with the Omega. They should see Jesus. Acts 4 and 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They saw Jesus in them. They saw something different, and the reason they were different is because Jesus had touched their lives. Amen. If we can reflect Jesus to them, expectations can be exceeded. Acts 4 and 5 says, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He gave heed unto them. Now watch, here's faith. Expecting to receive. Say that. Expecting to receive. Every time that you and I come to the house of God, we should have that driving force in us that we expect to receive something from a good God, the mighty God, who joins us in this place, who meets us here, who touches our situations and our problems. He looked at them expecting to receive something of them. A coin, perhaps? I've heard this scripture preached always. I remember years ago preaching a message on a few coins in a cup. But I want to take a little different angle. He expected something of them. A coin? Maybe not. See, stop the mindset of, if I had more money, I could be more effective. If I had this, or if I had that, I could be more effective. I was told this in prayer one morning, that stuff that's in your wallet is what's going to take this world down. But what's inside you is what I'm going to use one day to take a nation up. Yes. Woo! But yet this world focuses on the almighty dollar. It's all about the almighty dollar and the economy, and yes, it affects us. Every one of us, it does. But we have something that not all people have. Jesus living inside of us. And this is what Peter and John took that day to that situation of a lame man from his mother's womb. Money. Money, money. But here's the other key. Expecting. He was expecting something from them. That means to anticipate in thought or hope or even fear. By implication, to await, to look for, to wait for, to expect or be in expectation, to look or look when, waiting for or tarry. The lexicon to the Bible says to expect or anticipate, and that anticipated is expect one's coming or return. What went through his mind when Peter told him, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I thee. What was going through his mind? Because Peter told him, you know what? I'm not going to give you money. Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Could it be that he was thinking in his mind when he realized it wasn't going to be just a couple more coins in the cup? Could it be that he had this thought that, is this my day? Is this the day that I get my miracle? Is this the day that something happens in my life that I've been waiting so long for? I have longed for more than just a few coins in my cup. I've wanted a miracle in my life. And maybe this is the day. This isn't the way I expected it to happen or dreamed that it would happen. But is this my day? And I ask somebody in this congregation tonight, is this your night? Oh, it couldn't happen on a Wednesday night. Oh, yes, it could. And it's our mindset, that same mindset that we think if we had more, if I had this or I had that. Oh, if we could bring the Sunday night or the Sunday morning mindset to a Wednesday evening. Sometimes Jesus moved on because he couldn't do a work there because of their lack of. There should not be a lack of at apostolic. Hallelujah. See, I'm just simple-minded enough to believe this stuff. And so are you, because we've seen it put in motion. We've seen it happen in our lives. And now it's time to look to the world and say, look on us. We have your answer. We have the answer to your situation or your dilemma. And we saw proof of that in here Sunday night. Look on us. Blepo, that word is pronounced. It means to have sight or perceive, to see or discern. Blepo is used of bodily, mental vision, and also to perceive. Matthew 13 and 13, Jesus said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And that's true with this world. But look at, in this situation with Peter and John, here comes the church, the body of Christ, and it's almost like Peter speaks a parable unto him, and he says, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I unto thee. What? I want some coins. Oh no, your miracle's on the way. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand. The Lord sits on the right hand of the glory of God. And it was the strength of God that connected with the brokenness of man and the faith of those two that immediately allowed for the strength to flow to the ankle bones. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. If there would have been doubt, what if Peter would have been thinking, oh my God, is this going to happen? Boom. But he took faith to that situation. He took a belief inside him, knowing that he had something that was worth way more than just a few gold coins or a few silver coins. Hallelujah. John 20 and 29, Jesus said to Thomas that you have seen me and have believed. But he said, blessed are those who have not seen me, yet believe. Why? Because in them will be a power to show darkness my light, to show sickness my healing, to show addictions my freedom. They is us. The church shall become the body of Christ and carry with us the revelation of Christ to this world. In Luke 7, 27 through 28, Jesus is speaking of John the Baptist. Verse 27, he says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you that those that are born of woman, there is not a greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Why? These folks saw Jesus and believed, but still doubted. Really, John the Baptist, when he was in prison and had the sentence of being beheaded, he sent his disciples out to find Jesus and ask him, "Are you the Christ, or do we look for another?" They doubted. He doubted. But yet he saw all these marvelous works. But there would be a people who lives, yes, even in the year 2013, that would grasp onto and hold on to the same truth. And without seeing Jesus physically, we see him in everything around us. We see what he touches. We see the situations he changes. We feel him when we worship him. We know he's real. Stop looking to the world for solutions. Look within. Jesus, our commission is to help the world see the answer. Not look to the world for solutions, but have the world look to us to see Jesus. That's where the solutions are. But yet, when we are in situations, when we are in trials, listen, maybe you don't, okay? But I'm going to tell on myself. Sometimes I look in a different direction for help. Where's it going to come from? When all the while, it's right here. Look within. The help is in the church. God has designed the church for the body of Christ to have a place to be ministered unto. And then when we leave this place, they see him in us and they marvel because they know that we have been with Jesus. Acts, the 11th chapter, if you'll go there quickly. There was a little bit of contention. The second verse, it says, "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of circumcision contended with him." You know what? There's going to be some contention in our lives as far as Jesus goes. Anybody have any contention go on in their life at all? When I walked in the door tonight, I told my wife, I was tested from the moment I walked into that place till the moment I walked out. 10 hours of contesting. But this is not to lift up, but I passed the test. And my tongue is sore because I bit it a number of times. I remember what the pastor said a few days ago when he wondered why Jesus would work so fast in a situation. He said he was almost surprised, but then God told him, because those times that you didn't say, that you kept it to yourself, that you didn't lash out, that you didn't... saying, wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended, as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had looked, fastened my eyes upon it. You know what Peter was fastening on? He didn't want to enter into an argument with these people. What he wanted to show them is what Jesus was doing. He wanted to show them the move of God in his life and why he saw things the way he saw things and why he was going where he was going when he fastened on the vision. And how many times in our lives, when there's contention, when there's trials, when there's situations, the answer could be so easy if we would just fasten on what Jesus has already done in our, if he wouldn't do another thing in my life. I should have enough to fasten on till he calls me home. He fastened on that vision and he continued on to tell them about what Jesus did. He fastened on the moving of God. See not and hear not. The church should not parallel that parable and cause for them not to see or hear Jesus because our reflection power is tarnished. Did you get that? We should not parallel that parable of see not and hear not. They should be able to see Jesus in us. No matter what the situation, and boy, I'm stepping all over my toes. Oh, I can't take no more. Really? Calvary was not convenient, but it was necessary. Luke 8 and verse 14. When I read this scripture, I wept. And my Father, my Heavenly Father reminded me of some things that I had let creep into my life that can take my focus on the real deal. And it really is a trinity, if you will, or a triune God, little g. And I want to show you that. And that, and this is, here we are again, the parable of the sower. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked. And here's the triune gods, if you will, with cares and riches and pleasures. Cares and riches and pleasures are what the world uses to try to lure us in the wrong direction. And many of times, it can take our focus off the real thing. Because we are affected by all three of those things. Cares and riches and pleasures. And look at, it says, of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Do you know what that word perfection means? It means harvest. They bring no fruit to harvest because of riches and cares and pleasures. The fruit that he's talking about, I believe, with this parable of the sower, we know what he's referring to is another body that needs to be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. Another singing body, if you will. But because of focusing on those things and getting wrapped up in them, it can cause for us to be fruitless. That word choked means strangle completely or to drown or to crowd by crowding to the point of suffocation. What am I going to do? Choking together, i.e. by crowding. That word cares, men or the former affirmation or concession. Indeed, cares of now and cares of latter to come or worried about past influences. past relationships, perhaps, acquaintances. I haven't seen you in years. What are you doing now? They should know. Riches means wealth, money, possessions, valuable riches, material riches, stuff. And pleasures, natural, even sinful desires, lusts or lustful desires. These are the things that the adversary has used for years, and you've heard this frame. He just wraps it up a little different. It's an old hag in a new dress. And he just wants you to take that package. Oh, if I only had that, I'd feel complete. Oh, if I only. But the cares and the treasures and the pleasures of this life are empty. They will not bring you satisfaction. They will not bring you fullness. Oh boy, I got that beautiful new travel trailer. And I got a beautiful cover for it that cost me a lot of money. And this ain't about what I have, but it's a lesson that I was taught. Had to have that. And now I'm so choked off with time and pressures from the job and going here and going there. I got a beautiful cover, but it's in my garage. It ain't on that beautiful trailer. I don't even have time to put that on. Oh, but I had to have it. Man, and I could think of a number of things right now that I could use that money for. But it's just stuff. But I'm just using it as an example. What is your big, beautiful, what is your that perhaps has taken your focus? It happens. But the key, Acts 3 and 6, silver and gold have I none. That first word have means to have on hand. Silver and let me tell you, if there was ever anybody who could preach that message, silver and gold have I none, or on hand. But that, but such as I have something that's worth so much more. But that such as I have, that second word have means this: to possess ability, relation or condition. Now watch, this word stresses that one has the means to complete or accomplish a task. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. The ability to complete a task. What's the task, church, that the word of the Lord and the voice of the Lord asks for us to do? Because according to the word of the Lord, the same truth, the same Holy Ghost that Peter had and John had is the same Holy Ghost that has taken residence up in you and I. And none of us has to take a back seat to any problem, any situation that the adversary wants to put in our lives or in the life of another, because we can walk up to them knowing that He has given us the power to handle that situation and take care of it. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And we have the ability to teach this, to preach this, to present it to anybody, and give them the ability to rise up and walk for the Lord. Every one of us in this place has been given a measure of the Almighty God. Ye shall receive money after that. No, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and be witnesses unto me. I've given people money. I've helped people out that way. But you know what? They only need more later on down the road, just like you and I. But when you give them what the Almighty God has planted inside each and every one of us, you are giving them something that can change their life and their situation forever. And there's some people in this congregation that are guilty of that very thing, of giving somebody something that could be life-changing, a conversation that they might have had at a hospital about a grandson who was having seizures, but God touched them, and now he's doing much better. About somebody who knew somebody who was a friend that went to a church, that there were miracles going on in that place, and people were getting healed. Do you know that person? So that somebody in another state would hear about a situation, about a church in Caledonia, Wisconsin, that the Almighty God was working in. He was walking the aisles. He was healing and changing lives and situations. Because it wasn't about money. It wasn't about trials and tribulations and situations. It was about, I know somebody who's given me something that if I'll give it to you, it'll change your life and your situation forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is what the Lord has given you and I. It's not how much we have that gives us power and strength and fulfillment. It's how much we are willing to give away,
right,
that the Almighty God has placed inside of us that will bring forth an increase.
Yes.
Stand with me. Church, we have something so very precious that God has given us, and he has allowed for us. On a Sunday night when we came in this place, listen, the glory cloud was here. And it is a privilege to stand among the glory cloud, in the glory cloud, and be touched and by the Lord Jesus Christ, and to have your situations handled by the Almighty God. But what he allowed for us to see was that the word went forth from a mouth. We are the mouthpiece. We are the body of Christ. And somebody in their dilemma, in a situation that wasn't so pleasant in their life, had the mindset of, oh, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about who's going to take care of my situation. Let me tell you about what Jesus did to my grandson. Let me tell you about what Jesus did to my wife, my husband. You fill in the blank. Listen, that's what the world is looking for. Because riches and cares and pleasures, one day will be gone. But what he has given to us has eternal value. And all he's asking the church of the Almighty God is to share our riches with somebody who is spiritually poor, who's lame, who's laying there, not able to walk, and could be eternally crippled. We pass by him all the time on the way to the temple, on the way to the house of God at the hour of prayer. We pass by them all the time. Let your prayer be this week, God, set up an appointment for me. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Set up an appointment for me, God, and I promise I will be your mouthpiece. I will speak your goodness into the life of someone else that they could come and be connected with the power of the Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, I would say if you pray that prayer tonight here at this altar, you expect the appointment is set. Amen. In Jesus' name. This altar is open.